Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's online course for the ACE CPT exam. My name is Eddie Lester, and I'm here specifically to introduce you to the PowerPoint lecture for Chapter 1. But before we get into that, I wanted to talk a little bit about the online course and basically the best way to get through this to ensure your success on the ACE final exam. So, on this screen currently, what you're going to be seeing is a list of about 5 different study materials that you're going to go through from top to bottom. And specifically, you're going to start with the PowerPoint lecture. You're going to follow along with the PowerPoint and scroll through as I talk about these specific topics. After the PowerPoint lecture is done, I'll have you go to the book lecture for Chapter 1. That's in the audio bar just below, where it's listed as Chapter 1 book lecture. Following that, you're going to complete the assignment associated with Chapter 1. The assignment is also known as the study guide, so we want you to complete all parts of the study guide right after listening to the audio lectures. And you can kind of go along with the audio lectures and listen as well as the PowerPoint to get through and answer some of the assignment questions. And then after the assignment questions are completed, we'll have the assignment audio explanation. And that assignment audio explanation is going to kind of go through each of the parts of the assignment and explain in detail the answer and then kind of help you understand how it might show up on the test. And then after that, once you've hit all of those specific study materials, we want you to take the quiz for Chapter 1 at the bottom. All 5 of those specific study materials in a row will assist you in making sure that you retain the right information from Chapter 1 to set you up to pass the ACE final exam in the end. You're going to go through each chapter 1 through 18 in order, and once you've completed all of the, we'll say, tasks on each page, you're going to go into the final exam preparation module. We want you to read through that a few times and then take our final exams, which will be the last lessons associated with this course. Once you're passing those final two final exams and scoring a 136 out of 150 or higher, you're then ready to schedule your actual ACE CPT exam through ACE or their testing provider. So hopefully that makes some sense. If you have any questions, we're always here to help you out. So don't be afraid to reach out, give us a call, and we'll point you in the right direction with any specific questions you have. But aside from that, let's go ahead and look at the slide 1 from the PowerPoint lecture. And specifically, this book, or the ACE Personal Trainer Manual 5th edition, is going to start off with the scope of practice associated with personal trainers. And a lot of what this chapter is about is just making sure that you understand what is expected of you and what you shouldn't be doing as a personal trainer. The health field, you know, there's a lot of crossover from, you know, doctors, you know, they really focus on medicine and ensuring that when you do get sick, you can become healthy again, and or just regular physical checkups. Physical therapists, they perform a rehab for injuries, you know, and there's a lot of crossover between every field with other fields. But the one thing that ACE wants to make sure that you understand is that the personal trainer scope of practice is a lot more narrow, and you shouldn't be moving into, you know, those other fields like you know, talking about a rehabilitation program for an injury, or diagnosing any injuries, or planning meal plans, or even moving into something like giving advice on someone's you know, personal life. All of that is going to be different fields, and you want to make sure that you do not cross over, as you can run into a little bit of trouble around that. So specifically, that was slide 1. Let's go ahead and look down towards slide 2. Specifically, we're going to talk about the role and scope of practice of the personal trainer. And first, before we get into that, we're going to talk about something that ACE will bring up quite frequently. And that's going to be the physical activity guidelines for Americans. And there always seems to be test-related questions around this, in the sense that, you know, how much exercise should a person do? And in the 2008 Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans basically suggest that 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity physical activity is enough. What that means is about 5 days per week for 30 minutes a day, you should be performing moderate intensity physical activity. What is moderate intensity physical activity? That's basically Could be like a fast-paced walk, could be a jog. Basically, they just want you to become active. And in my opinion, with that, I would even throw in resistance training into that moderate intensity sort of level, even though they're going to say it's more, those guidelines are more geared towards cardiorespiratory training. But yeah, why should people do that? Because they want to increase their activity levels to improve health. That's that first bullet point there. So they suggest, 30 minutes a day. Walking is recommended by the Surgeon General. Those sort of questions might come up. They're pretty dang easy. So hopefully, and also we're going to hit them in multiple chapters. So 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity physical activity, and then 30 minutes most days of the week are recommended by the Surgeon General. Definitely note those, highlight those, take those down in your notes as something that should be known for the test. All right, moving down on that slide to the health benefits of, physical activity. So there's, just to list them off, we have it's going to reduce the risk for disease, specifically at all age levels, improve cardiovascular and respiratory fitness levels, so improve cardiorespiratory fitness. And whenever I think about cardiorespiratory fitness, that's one that really allows you to feel good. In the sense of, I'm walking up the stairs and I'm not out of breath. When someone suggests that they feel like they are in shape or they feel like they're out of shape, they typically refer to how they feel when their heart rate goes up. And improving cardiorespiratory fitness levels makes them feel in shape, we'll say. So that's a major point to those 150 minutes per week. Then we also have our improved health biomarkers, specifically things like cholesterol, blood pressure, and those, blood glucose levels, all of the above, hormonal levels. That's what they refer to when they're talking about biomarkers. And then also improved body composition, meaning reduced body fat, increased muscle mass, which is very, very healthy and then will help on a hormonal level to achieve people's goals. So moving over to slide 3, we're going to talk about the healthcare field. And kind of like I mentioned before, personal trainers are going to work with all areas of people on the health spectrum and all careers in the health spectrum. And in the book, they have a very specific chart that kind of mentions, this is the healthcare continuum. Someone gets sick, they go to a doctor. Someone gets injured, they go to a physical therapist. If they have, we'll say psychological needs, they would visit with a psychiatrist or a psychologist, something like that. And also a registered dietitian is associated with nutritional planning. So, just to read a little bit of the credentialed professionals, that's at that middle bullet point right there. So rehabilitation, that's your physical therapist. Nutrition, that's your registered dietitian. Your physicians or PAs, physician's assistants, nurse practitioners. Then mental health, you're looking more towards that psychologist field. Alternative healthcare, that's when you could get into things like acupuncturists, chiropractors, that sort of thing. Massage therapists even there, and then also other trainers, coaches, or instructors in the fitness realm. So lots of different communication and networking with other healthcare fields in order to assist you in building your client base, as well as just people that you may come into contact with as you move along in this field. So it's working with all of those sort of people is going to improve the overall health of the client and ensure that their needs are met on all levels of health and fitness, which is great. And you are a big part of that, which is great. So, it's also at the bottom bullet point, it says personal trainers, it's important for them to not perform activities outside of their scope of practice and remain specifically to the programming around fitness and assessing fitness levels. That's the main scope for personal trainers. But as we move over to slide 4, we're going to talk more about that. What can a personal trainer do? So there's 6 bullet points here that we're going to specifically lay that out. Some of these are going to be very important to know for the test. And specifically, a personal trainer can will definitely refer clients to the appropriate healthcare professional when something's outside of their scope of practice. In the sense that somebody comes in and says they have a knee pain, that's when you would suggest that they go to a physical therapist or they go to a doctor to get that diagnosed. Once it is diagnosed, a personal trainer can take that person through a workout provided by the other fitness professional, but they can't create a program to fix that injury, we'll say. So keep that in mind. You can also identify risk factors for disease through screening, specifically assessment screens, fitness assessments, we consider that. You can recommend general information around nutrition. That's basic things like how to count calories, what nutrients might be in what foods. And specifically, though, one of the things that ACE recommends is that you understand that certain websites that have been created by, we'll say, nutritionists are available for you to use so that you don't go outside of your scope of practice. One of those websites is choosemyplate.gov, and that utilizes the MyPlate food guidance system that came about in the last 10 or 15 years. It replaced the food pyramid. And specifically, that's what you would use to program someone's nutrition. So you wouldn't give them a meal plan, but you could point them to that website to encourage they make the right choices. It's not necessarily 100% foolproof, and that's what would get them to their goals, but that's what's suggested as far as the scope of practice goes. So I want you guys to know choosemyplate.gov as the main nutritional source that you should use for your clients. Would I use that? Probably not, but you know, there's other ways to go about getting your clients proper nutrition, and that's when I would suggest something like, oh, I want you to read this book by this nutritionist. You know, whatever sort of diet they are interested in, research it, find out a good author that you agree with their, we'll say, nutritional recommendations, and then suggest that they read those books. That's kind of what I do. And that I say, yeah, try reading this book and try to eat similarly to what they recommend. That's a great way to avoid being outside of your scope of practice. All right, also educate clients about the benefits of a balanced diet, but you can't specifically recommend any meal plans or any specific diet or foods. And so the way around that, like I kind of mentioned, was that you tell them to read this book, and if they're interested, try what that guy recommends. So I'm not necessarily prescribing a diet or recommending a diet to you. I'm telling you to read a book and give something a try. If you want only, of course. So there's ways around that, but specifically I want you guys to understand that you cannot provide a meal plan for a client. You cannot tell them what to eat on a, you know, meal-by-meal basis. To tell the truth, almost all personal trainers do that, but from the test perspective and from a professional perspective, it is outside the scope of practice. All right, also coach clients on exercise technique and program design. That's mainly what the personal trainers are there for. Teach them how to exercise efficiently with the correct posture to avoid pain and achieve their fitness goals through program design. And then also, determine exercise limitations. So if somebody has an injury, somebody has postural issues, you can determine the limits to exercise that person may have. So that's also in the scope of practice. And then to continue with scope of practice, as we move over to slide 5, so what a personal trainer cannot do. And there's very specific language that I want you guys to know for the test. And this basically goes right along with the other healthcare professions in a sense that you cannot diagnose. That's one of the things. A personal trainer cannot diagnose anything. Specifically, though, they say you cannot diagnose illnesses, injuries, or disease. I want you to note that for the test, as the scope of practice is very commonly tested on. And yeah, I would basically want you guys to memorize this, and that's why at the bottom it says memorize table 1-2 and 1-3 from the textbook. You cannot prescribe a medication, obviously. You know, you can't go up to a pharmacist and be like, hey, I recommended this, or my personal trainer prescribed this to me. Yeah, that doesn't work. Also, you cannot prescribe a diet or a supplement. Yeah, so even though, you know, it seems like personal trainers might have a vast knowledge on certain supplements and how they might be beneficial for people according to the scope of practice, you cannot say, I want you to take BCAAs or I want you to take a protein supplement. That's something a registered dietitian would do. And I want you to note that nutritional recommendations only come from registered dietitians. And that's the main person that would provide that meal plan. Also, a personal trainer cannot rehabilitate. Okay, rehabilitation is for doctors and or physical therapists that you know, a client may have had an injury or a surgery that they need rehabilitation from. That's where they would go. They would not come to a personal trainer. Also, a personal trainer cannot counsel clients basically regarding issues of their life. So if they have any, you know, hey, I want advice on what I should do about my brother being mean to me. Okay, you can't really go into detail about what they're going through and give them advice. You can listen and ask questions, but you can't give advice regarding their the issues in their life. And also, they cannot refer to the client as a patient, and you cannot treat the client, you can't diagnose, you can't rehabilitate, can't prescribe. Those are some of the language that I kind of meant, or that's some of the language that I mentioned earlier that is not included with or being a personal trainer. Yeah, you would not use those sort of words. So definitely highlight those, write those down. That's something that you would need to know for sure. All right, moving over to slide number 6, continuous scope of practice. There's one specific act that even though personal trainers do not fall under the professions that utilize what's called HIPAA, you still need to utilize HIPAA as your standard for the way that you operate. Because you are similar to a medical profession or you are similar to a health profession or health and wellness profession, utilizing HIPAA is a great way to ensure safety of your client's personal information. What does HIPAA stand for? I want you guys to memorize this as well as understand HIPAA as that commonly shows up on the test. Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Okay, memorize that specific phrasing of information. So Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And yeah, always stick to those HIPAA standards. What does that specifically mean? The main HIPAA standards that you want to focus on is that you always protect the client's confidentiality around their medical information. How would you go about doing that? How would you go about protecting that? Store their information in a locked file cabinet or a password-protected electronic file. So basically, you need to ensure that you are the only one that has access to the information that they give you about their medical history. You don't want someone to be able to open a drawer and just look through everything. That complies with HIPAA standards and is what is suggested by ACE to how to, we'll say, organize your client's information. Basically, HIPAA also states that the client is in charge of who has access to their medical history, and you can't share information about your client unless you have a written consent or written permission to give away that information. If it's not written, you wouldn't want to do it because a client could say, hey, that person gave away my information and I didn't give them I did not allow them to do that. So most importantly, though, how should you store a client's information? In a locked file cabinet. And if it's on a computer, password-protected file. So if someone goes to open a file on the computer, double-click it, oh, what's the password to this file? I don't know, so I can't access it. Or I'm the trainer, and I know, and I can access it. All right, and the final slide for Chapter 1 is going to go over continuing education. So as a personal trainer, you are required to always be learning, always be bettering your craft, and you're required by ACE specifically to achieve 20 hours of either exercise science, health, or fitness-related education every 2 years, and that will allow you to maintain that ACE certification. So basically what this ensures is that you don't become a personal trainer, not train for 8 years, and then still have your personal training certification, just jump straight back into it. They want to make sure that you're always educating, you're always staying up to date, and this is the same in most medical professions, that you have to achieve these continuing education hours, otherwise your certification will lapse. It's a great thing because it always encourages you to build upon your knowledge, and therefore you can help clients further. And also that increases your self-worth and your value when it comes to working with clients, meaning that you can charge more money per session, which is great. All right, so, and also, yeah, as far as the continuing education goes, we offer a business and sales course, which is right above in the menu under our continuing education tab. Specifically, this is gonna help you guys get started as a personal trainer in the field and ensure that you understand, you know, what it takes, how to get clients, how to build a business, and specifically, you know, when you're in front of a client, how are you going to convince them that they need to train with you? And how are you going to convert them into a paying client, which is how you make money as a personal trainer? So that's our main focus and really geared towards, you know, you, that person that's newer to personal training and wanting to make money. Because, you know, a lot of people get into personal training and think, oh, I'm just going to guarantee make 20 bucks a session, 20 bucks an hour, and I'll work 40 hours a week and I'll be very happy, you know, making 40, 50 grand a year. It's not that easy it's not as easy as it seems. You know, you have to go out there, you have to understand how to network and how to market yourself and how to shake hands, look someone in the eye and say, hey, I'm a personal trainer, you need to be working with me with the most confidence. So that's really what we promote in that. So, and that is approved through ACE for continuing education unit. So definitely check that out once you're nearing the end of this course in order to get yourself started on the right foot. And also call us if you have any questions about that too. Anyways, final bullet point. The most credible source of information, according to ACE, for continuing education, it comes from peer-reviewed scientific journals. I want you guys to highlight that. I want you to know that. Scientific journals have articles that have been peer-reviewed, meaning multiple people have read them and basically tested them to say, yes, this is great information, and it makes it into a scientific journal. Usually, it takes years to develop that sort of article, and it's really more or less proven that this is very accurate. And reading scientific journals and you can get an hour of or CEU credit hours by just subscribing to a scientific journal, reading that, and then submitting that to ACE to recertify your certification. And that is the best place to seek continuing education is within those journals. So highlight that, know that if ACE ever asks on the test, where should you get your CEUs from? Where's the best place for CEUs? It's in those peer-reviewed scientific journals. So, all right, guys, that is it for chapter one. A nice little intro there, kind of get your feet wet and moving into this textbook. Yes, guys, so the PowerPoints are going to be more summarized than our audiobook lectures, which you're going to go to next, which is right below this lecture. It's going to be really, to the point, give you great information, tell you what's most important about that chapter. And then you're going to get into the nitty-gritty details as you get into the audio lectures. So, yeah, once again, you're going to go from the audio lecture or from the PowerPoint lectures to the audio lectures. From the audio lectures, you're going to go to the assignments, complete those assignments. Once those assignments are completed, listen to the audio explanation and from the answers to the assignments, and then take that quiz. All of those together are going to lead to your success and point you in the right direction, one chapter at a time, to completing this book and passing this ACE exam. So very glad to have you with us, and I look forward to seeing you in the audiobook lecture below, as well as the chapters to come. Cheers.